word on Today FM.
Time to go to America, to Cal Thomas, but first to Los Angeles, because she has been an eyewitness to the fires. Marion McKeown, good that you're able to join us. What have you been seeing in recent days since we last spoke to you on Friday?
Well, after a couple of calm days, Matt, there's just such a palpable sense of trepidation here again today in Los Angeles. The winds are rising up again. The most critical time is going to be in the next 24 hours. There has been some containment of the big fires, the Eaton Fire and the Palisade Fire, but nowhere near enough. We're talking 14% or 17% in Palisades and about 35% in Eaton. I was out last night near at a new fire that started between Oxnard and Ventura County. There's a river there called the Santa Clara River. It's actually a riverbed. The river's completely dry, but a whole bunch of stuff has grown in that bed, like brush and scrub and junk and everything. And the speed that was blazing at, now it's been contained miraculously because it is in a sort of a bowl-shaped riverbed that has a concrete base. But it was moving at over 100 foot a minute, and that was with no winds or very, very little winds. There was a concern that could spark and move into much more populated areas, but mercifully there was a golf course near it, damped there, and there were low-growing like strawberry farms and mushroom farms, so there wasn't a whole lot of stuff for it to latch on to. But there's real concerns. This time around, the difference is, and I was told this by firefighters last night, they have pre-positioned a lot of equipment now. I know in the Eaton Fire, I was told that there are over 3,000 personnel on the ground, over 300 fire trucks, a whole bunch of 88, I think, water tenders. So they are ready. And so they're literally waiting for the sparks and hoping that they'll be able to get to them before anything can get hold in the way it did. But there's a lot of nervousness. And I have to say, these firefighters are absolutely exhausted. You could see just the fatigue etched into their faces last night. They're literally giving it everything they can. They had the advantage of, there was a lot of air, a lot of fire retardant sprayed from the air, that brilliant pink stuff that you see sometimes. And the other thing is, and you can probably hear it in my voice, that the air quality is just awful. There's a lot of toxic stuff in the air. I mean, it's registering as good still, but we're being warned that there could be asbestos in the air, arsenic, lead, all of these things. And there are strange scenes where people are going around, understandably, wearing masks, and you have a lot of National Guard that are, particularly in areas like Brentwood at the moment and Palisades, that are guarding homes that were evacuated but haven't been burnt from looters. And three looters were arrested last night in Palisades. They went up to Mandeville Canyon, this beautiful place. They took about $200,000 worth of stuff out of one of the houses. And unfortunately, it's really distressing because there's such a sense of community here and people are doing everything they can to help. But you do always have these situations, but they're really cracking down on it.
What help does California expect to come from the Trump administration when it gets into power from next Monday?
Well, I think one of the most consistently depressing things has been that the politicization of this fire, the spreading of rumors, the spreading of false information. Joe Biden has gave an order that said for 180 days that the federal government will pick up the tab for the cost of this fire, the cost of this firefighting. That could be, in theory, overturned by Donald Trump. Already we've had Mike Johnson come out, the Speaker of the House, and say that could be subject to conditions. Now, these people are climate change deniers, and it suits them much better to claim that it's, you know, people from outer space, that it's Democrats, that it's all these conspiracy theorists. 15-minute cities is a big one at the moment. They want to burn down all of LA and replace it with 15-minute cities. It's just all nonsense, but it's allowing them to duck the issue. If you were here, you would see the power of these winds. There is no fire force on earth that could have, you know, there certainly mistakes were made. Certainly there were empty reservoirs, there were hydrants that didn't work, but that is tinkering around the edges. This was a conflagration. It was like a Category 5 hurricane with flames, you know, and that's really the only way you can describe it. And this politicization, for the people here I've spoken to who've lost everything, for firefighters who are working round the clock, they're just sick of it and exhausted by it.
Cal Thomas, do you think, can the people of California depend on the incoming Trump administration to honour the commitment made by Joe Biden?
I think partially. I think Speaker Johnson is correct. I think we, you know, you just don't open the bank and pour money into a situation. As I write in my column today, politicians warn against the politicization of certain events when they don't want to be held responsible for them. Both Gavin Newsom and the Los Angeles mayor, Karen Bass, the latter who went to Ghana for a wedding after she had been warned by meteorologists of the danger of these fires, and then came back, refused to answer reporters' questions, held a news conference in which he said meaninglessly that Angelenos needed to stay united, reservoirs that were not full. You have the head of the city's water chief, whose name is Janice Quinones, who gets $750,000 a year, almost as much as you make, Matt, who knew about empty reservoirs and broken hydrants months before the fire started and did nothing about it. One of my favorite lines about this, and by the way, the liberal acting community in Hollywood seems to be turning, at least by some, against the universal approval I've had of Democrats for years. The actor, just had his name before me here, James Woods, I think it is, has said that he doesn't believe that this was caused by climate change. He believes that it was caused by liberal idiots in Sacramento and in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but James Woods has been well known for far-right political views in America for years. He's hardly a credible person to be citing.
Well,
Mel Gibson, we heard at the top of the program, suggesting that this was all done deliberately. Everyone who has come out amongst the Hollywood community were all known to be extreme Trumpers up till now.
No, not everyone, but, you know, Gibson, who is famous for some of his more outrageous comments, and I agree with that, that they are outrageous. He did have a good line, though. He said, Newsom didn't do anything. I think all our tax dollars probably went to Gavin's hair gel. Look, we've known about this problem in California for years. The underbrush, which, you know, Marion talked about this riverbed that is no longer filled with water. All this stuff has been protected by the environmentalists, even with previous fires. And when we knew that this stuff serves as basically fuel for the fires, helping it to advance. They won't do anything. They'd rather protect little fish and insects in woods. When you're not doing what you need to do to prevent a fire, that's just completely irresponsible.
Marion, what do you make of that allegation that there was a failure to take into account the lack of water by doing things like clearing the undergrowth?
Okay, so first of all, we had huge rains in Los Angeles in 2023, like for the two previous years, way above record, 24 inches. This year it's been 0.2 inches. There's been no rain. So when you have huge, really healthy rains here, LA, it's so fertile. It just erupts into bloom, essentially. But then obviously the weather gets very, very hot and it dries out. I think anybody who's been to LA can understand that you cannot clear all of this. There are different opinions on this. There was a very interesting conference between some scientists the other day, and I spoke with one of them. Some people say there is no point in clearing this underbrush. It won't help. And when you clear this underbrush, which is year-round vegetation, it's very tough, it's very scrubby, it's very resilient. You pave way for non-native stuff, which is like literally kindling. It goes up. It's these wild grasses that have taken a huge grip in LA, and that when you clear away the native stuff, you're just making way for more trouble and you're causing more problems, because then this stuff swoops in and this stuff is infinitely more flammable. You know, I mean, look, scientists disagree, experts disagree, but this nonsense, there is a reservoir, there was one reservoir that was emptied out because there was a tear on the cover, the water was getting polluted, it was being repaired. Now, there is an investigation already going into that and why it took so long. That is something that should be investigated, absolutely. But the sense that the fire chiefs and the fire experts are saying, and this nonsense about Karen Bass going to a wedding in Ghana, it wouldn't have made a blind bit of difference. These are things that are tinkering around the edges. The main cause of this is not incompetence. It's not political. It's not Gavin Newsom's hair gel. It is climate change. Now, do cities need to change? Do they need to change, especially Los Angeles, how they deal with things, how they build things, their infrastructures? Absolutely. Absolutely. We are now living in a world that was built for a very different climate and very different risks.
Okay, let's move on to politics. We will be doing a special next Monday for President Donald Trump's inauguration, which will be happening while we're live on air. And I do remember, Cal, 8 years ago that we actually broadcast live his inauguration speech, because I remember it well, the American Carnage speech, in which he spoke in a dystopian vision of what was happening to the United States of America. Do you expect him to be as visceral and as threatening in his pledges and promises next Monday?
Well, I wrote a column about this too, Matt, which will be in my newspapers on Thursday. And I said, if you go back and reread the actual speech, yes, there was some of that, but there was also a lot of positive stuff as well. And I think most people remember for what happened after the speech. He was all upset by the estimates of the crowd size. As we know, he's been preoccupied with size and a number of things. He sent his press secretary at the time, Sean Spicer, out to denounce the people who had been doing the estimates. And they'd done it for years, bipartisan. They didn't have any dog in the fight, but he wanted the numbers to be bigger than they were. I hope he is more focused this time with a Ronald Reagan city on the hill, the positive things that we can do. Yes, he can talk about inflation. Yes, he can talk about food and petrol prices and those things. So we're going to do everything we can to bring them down. But I think we've heard about the anger. We've heard about the denunciations. An inaugural address should be something along the lines of John Kennedy. And, you know, the torch has been passed to a new generation, Ronald Reagan city on the hill, a positive outlook. So we fought the battle in the election. Trump won. And now let's move on to actually accomplishing things, would be my recommendation. But he hasn't listened to any of my other recommendations, so I'm not sure he'll listen to this one.
Okay, so Chris, his recommendations as well for his cabinet picks. The hearings have happened in the Senate, or started today. Let's just hear one. The guy who's been nominated for defense secretary, Pete Hegseth. This is where he was being questioned by Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii about his drinking.
You recently promised some of my Republican colleagues that you stopped drinking and won't drink if confirmed, correct?
Absolutely.
Will you resign as Secretary of Defense if you drink on the job, which is a 24/7 position?
I've made this commitment on behalf of
will you resign as Secretary of Defense?
I've made this commitment on behalf of the men and women I'm serving.
I'm not
because
hearing,
it's the most important deployment
of my life.
I'm not
hearing an answer to my question, so I'm going to move on. 2020, then President Trump directed former Secretary of Defense Mark Esper to shoot protesters in the legs in downtown D.C., an order Secretary Esper refused to comply with. Would you carry out such an order from President Trump?
Senator, I was in the Washington, D.C. National Guard unit that was in Lafayette Square during those
events. Would you carry out an order to shoot protesters in the legs?
I saw 50 Secret Service agents get injured by rioters trying to jump over the fence, set the church on fire, and destroy
a statue. That sounds to me that you will comply with such an order. You will shoot protesters in the leg.
Okay, Marion McCown, what should we make of this guy Hegseth? For those who are not familiar with, tell us about his background and about the allegations made against him.
Well, and this hearing is still going on, and he just had even more bruising encounters with Tim Kaine, who is one of the most mild-mannered of senators on Capitol Hill, and Liz Warren, about his drinking, about his treatment of women, and a number of other things. He's patently unqualified. He's absolutely... He's a Fox News weekend host. He was in the army for a while. He wrote a book. He's a Christian crusader who shouted drunk in a bar, kill all Muslims, while he was involved with the veterans organizations, which... Every veteran said he ran into the ground and was absolutely dreadful when running them. He's a TV guy. He by his own admission likes to drink a lot. People have said he's got an acute drink problem. People who work with him say he has a chronic drink problem. But as I say, it's a combination of things. It's his treatment of women. It was his paying off a woman who accused him of raping her in a hotel in California. It is like, and there are a number of other women who have accused him of sexual harassment and other things. But he will be running a department that has a budget that's close to $1 trillion, that has about 3 million people working for it. He has no qualification for that job. And it sickened me, frankly, to see guys like Kevin Cramer sucking up to him, applauding him for his Christianity and his Christian crusade marks. And, you know, it's just alarming the place America is in at the moment. He should not even be in a confirmation hearing. Just getting back to the Trump inauguration there very quickly. I was there at the inauguration. And I didn't hear any cheery or good stuff, Cal, at all. It was a bleak day in every respect. The crowds were very small and very sparse. And it was really a grim day. You could not have found a bigger contrast.
There'll be a much bigger crowd, I suspect, this Monday coming.
I think this time around it'll be a lot.
Okay, but Cal, can I ask you about Pete Hegseth? What do you make of him?
Well, I always am amused when Democrats bring up sexual harassment and rape and other things.
Why? There's nothing amusing about sexual harassment, rape and other things.
I didn't say that, Matt. I said I'm amused when they bring it up. A big difference.
Okay.
For Tim Kaine, the senator of Virginia, to make all these allegations, unproven, by the way, and nobody who has come forward to associate their name with it, when he and other Democrats had no problem with Bill Clinton's behavior, the alleged rape of Juanita Broderick, the Paula Jones sexual harassment, the using of state troopers when he was governor of Arkansas to find women for him to harass and abuse. So I find that rather hypocritical.
But sorry, Cal, no, sorry. I have to ask you a question on that. If you felt that was disqualifying for Clinton, then, or if those who at the time felt it was disqualifying for Clinton, even if it wasn't you, how can they then turn around and say that is fine for Hegseth?
Well, you know, as a friend of mine says, if people didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all. It's true. I mean, it is. Same with Donald Trump and all of his harassment, the E. Jean Carroll case and the rest. But people have made their judgment on that. Can we say standards are so low in America now that people just don't expect anybody with character to hold high positions? I hope we haven't arrived at that point. But I think Marion is right in some respects that Hegseth doesn't have any experience on running a major institution. The Defense Department, the Pentagon, is the biggest cabinet agency, the biggest institution in Washington with nearly a $900 billion budget. And I wouldn't be hired for anything like that. I have no experience in anything like that. And while we certainly salute his service to the country as a member of the military, and yes, he has some good ideas, but so do a lot of other people who have experience running big organizations. I think you'll get confirmed anyway, by the way.
Okay, and there's other confirmation hearings of some who are perhaps even less suited, and that's something we will be discussing. I suspect we will be talking about America later this week before we come for our special next Monday, when we will be covering live the inauguration of Donald Trump as president in the United States. For now, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word on Today FM.